In a college town like Normal, I don't think it's very unusual. What we want to see is what percentage of this generation is going to stay right here in our community. But it's not surprising. It is a college town, and we did, to some degree, expect to see this.
You alluded to this. One of the issues is that there are transient populations. They're not, you'll always have younger people in the community, but they always won't be millennials, and there may not be permanent residents. So how should they be weighted in something like this?
So two things, Mike, whether this particular group definitely is transient, they might be moving on, but that age group is always going to be here in our community. So their interests and their subsequent generations' interests on housing, land use, cultural aspects are all very important considerations for the town. And I think this group brings a unique, both unique opportunities and challenges for the community. The energy that university students bring is definitely appreciated by the community, as we see in our outreach survey results. But it also presents how do we balance the needs of this group to the rest of the rest of the community.
With a generation this big, are we generalizing too much about their habits? For instance, their proclivity to seek out urban, walkable, bikeable, transit-friendly living situations, or their low rate for vehicle ownership. Are we generalizing too much abroad across this huge generation?
Possibly, but what I can tell you is definitely what we've seen, the national trends, the national news that you hear about on the general preferences of this group on mixed use, urban environments, walkable, bikeable, friendly environments. That's what we saw here in Normal. That's what the outreach revealed, that these are not just some national trends somewhere else. That's what this group wants. But what's also reassuring is the subsequent groups who are very conscious about this, is that's the general direction they're going. Having said that, I've also seen research from reliable sources that actually say the older of the millennial generation, we're starting to see a shift. They are still preferring mixed-use urban neighborhoods, but many are saying, I would like a single-family residence as well.
As they get older, they're having families,
As
and
they,
they need the room.
yep, they need the room. However, it's important for us to know the difference between various types of single families, because not all single families are created equal.
Single-family homes.
Single-family homes, absolutely. So we're not talking about the same type of McMansions that we
So we may be
have seen.
pushing, so communities may be pushing millennials into housing situations they may not necessarily really want, but it fits, it's the best that fits their needs at the time.
Absolutely. And what we have seen is the national research that came out on this is showing that millennials do prefer that single family living type arrangement, but still are very interested in connected neighborhoods that allow them to walk and bike to amenities.
How does all of this demographic information help guide a comprehensive plan? Beyond millennials, what do you do with all this demographic information?
Oh, this the demographic information is a key for planning 20 years into the future. So we really need to know the housing, land use, transportation, and other choices that people are making to plan accordingly and accommodate those. What's interesting about these generations, and like you said, millennials absolutely do make up over 50% of population here in Normal. That kind of somehow, given this large percentage, it's hard to see that we do have an aging population of the non-student demographic, which is our aging boomers. And their preferences, to some degree, actually, I should say, overlap with millennial preferences quite a bit.
In terms of,
In terms of housing choices, cultural choices, and majority of the boomers tend to prefer university towns that bring that cultural value and energy. What's interesting in Normal is when we did map where various generations are geographically concentrated, what you'll see is there is obviously a high concentration of young adults around ISU, like we expected, but there is also an immediate ring around that that's with a higher concentration of seniors, and then followed by our families towards the outreaches.
The McLean County Regional Planning Commission is issuing its existing conditions report that will help guide the development of the Town of Normal's next comprehensive plan. Vasu Penamaraju is the executive director of the McLean County Regional Planning Commission. Do demographics drive housing choice, or can the town help alter that with planning areas for different kinds of more dense housing? So can the plan, or what the Town of Normal sort of zones, push people into different housing situations? Or is it demographics that determine where people want to live?
It's a combination of both. And I think a good plan will help the town understand the needs of the demographics and accommodate those needs accordingly.
75% of residential land use is occupied by single-family housing. How important is it to make a shift toward more dense housing? What are the wins for the town and for the community and for the residents of more dense housing?
One adjustment to that statement I would make, Mike, is it's not 75% of all land. It is residential is 36% of all land within the town. And of that 36%, it
75%
is,
yeah, is, res-
is, okay. Yeah, is single family residential. So clearly that is the single largest land use category that occupies the town. So it's absolutely important for those residential densities to be higher. What's interesting is, as you probably have witnessed here in Normal, in the last 15 to 20 years, there has been a shift in land use, particularly more towards mixed use, higher densities. I think it was triggered mainly by the, at that time, downtown redevelopment plan, and now uptown. The town has also embraced those principles of densities and tried to apply it elsewhere. So the residential densities within the last 15 years are much higher. So we are headed in that general direction. But I think the percentage of those when compared to the overall is still, you know, there is a lot of room to grow.
So you alluded to this. There's a push by the town to bring more dense housing to the uptown area. This is the right move in the right area?
Oh, absolutely. I think so, because that's what we heard from the community as well. And this is something very important to keep in mind, that the town has been working at this vision for the last 15 years, and the community generally is very pleased with that, with the general direction. And for any community to make progress, it's important for us to continue down a path. And if there is general approval of that concept, I think it's important for us to keep that in mind.
How strong is that approval? What did you find in the outreach efforts concerning uptown redevelopment, town leadership, that kind of thing?
It is absolutely amazing for me to see the level of approval from the general community. We have seen members of the community that went above and beyond to say how much they appreciate knowing that their tax dollars are being spent towards something like Uptown and Main Street redevelopment and things like that. There, many comments specifically said they appreciate the town's leadership on in this direction. They generally felt like this is the general direction of the town has been approved overwhelmingly by majority of the respondents.
The town has many hundreds of residential lots that have already been approved but not yet developed, enough lots that it would cover much of the projected population growth for the next 25 years. Is this good news or bad news? Bad meaning that over the next 25 years we could see more development on the periphery of the community, or is it good news that no more land will have to be annexed?
I think it's a interesting situation to be in, because one, majority of these annexations were approved at the boom time when there is a lot of development going on. Much of the development didn't go through quite yet. So some of these annexations are set to expire as early as this year through 2029.
Should the town renew those?
Yeah, exactly. These are the questions we want to keep asking as we move this process forward, because answers to those questions will really determine the long-term vision for the community. Something to also keep in mind is the town just approved an ambitious Uptown 2.0 plan that showed potential for up to 1,000 units. I think it's 900-some units. While these are not mutually exclusive, it's important to keep in mind that to be able to foster some of this newer housing that's generally desired by millennials and boomers, for this to happen, there needs to be a balance between traditional suburban-style development to mixed-use urban development.
The town of Normal is looking forward to developing a plan with the McLean County Regional Planning Commission to guide it for the next 20 years or so. I'm talking with the McLean County Regional Planning Commission's Vasu Punamaraju about the existing conditions report that will aid in developing the plan. I'm Mike McCurdy at Sound Ideas. Vasu, let's talk about infrastructure. That word covers everything from roads to water treatment. How is the town positioned?
Honestly, we think that the town is positioned well. The current infrastructure, we did not see any major issues. Moving forward, what we have started to see is the new systems planning is generally focused on maintaining what we have than building new. That applies to our stormwater master plan that's currently underway, the fire plan that just got approved by the town.
Talking about the new fire station headquarters on Main Street.
Yep.
What about solid waste? Both Bloomington and Normal are looking at a landfill that will close soon.
I think this is not new news. Ecology Action Center is leading an effort to actually not update the plan, but create a new 20-year solid waste plan that looks at ways to address not just the landfill closure, but also a whole host of issues. So this will be an important topic for us to carefully follow as we move along here.
Active transportation, or transportation that involves people walking, walking to a bus, biking, has some benefits to individuals and the community. Can you talk about those benefits, and what did the MCRPC propose in Bloomington, and are we likely to see anything different in Normal as it concerns active transportation?
A couple of things. As it relates to Bloomington plan, obviously there is a lot of discussion about active transportation. And something else that I will tell you is we are at a point where we need to stop looking at these within their own silos. Active transportation has a huge impact on physical health of physical and human health. And if you look at McLean County Health Department's plan, obesity is one of the major concerns, health concerns in our county, and it has been for a while, and it's trending very unfavorably. Active transportation, physical activity, these are ways in which land use and built environment can help fight that epidemic.
What is going on with McLean County's obesity rate? It's much higher than the national or state average.
It is. Honestly, I don't think there is any empirical evidence as to why we have much higher obesity rates. There are jokes about our high percentage of restaurants possibly leading. I think that's only halfway a joke. It could very well be the case, but we do not have any empirical evidence showing that. Town of Normal's active transportation, although they do not have an official complete streets policy, much of the town's infrastructure improvements have been following their bike and pedestrian master plan, which is very close to what you would see in a complete streets policy. And that has significantly improved the walkability and bikeability in the last few years.
What did you hear from residents in your outreach effort as it concerned active transportation? Are you surprised by the strong showing regarding bikes and mass transit?
You know, what's interesting with the community outreach in Normal is there is a huge, huge support for walkability and bikeability. I don't think we are surprised about that. But there is a strong support for more. They want to continue seeing more mixed-use urban environments and amenities. However, they're also looking forward for more connections, bike and ped connections. We've received suggestions for particular improvements at such and such an intersection. We are going to take all of those very seriously in, as part of the comprehensive planning. Take a look at some intersection suggestions by the residents.
Bloomington Normal is close to being a non-attainment community for federal air quality standards. Can you explain what that is and how the comprehensive plan, what the comprehensive plan can do to address that in terms of maybe sprawl or transportation, things like that?
Yeah, so this is an important issue. So from an air quality standpoint, EPA has been looking at lowering the ozone levels for quite some time, and they've done that last year. So now it's 70 parts per billion. the way they determine non-attainment zones is three-year averages. So depending on which year you look at, last year we were slightly higher than that number, and this year we are slightly lower. Next year they're going to make the determination. So we can hope and pray that we are not going to have a hot summer that'll push us over that limit. But what this really tells us is whether we are in non-attainment zone or not, we are very close. So as a community, this is an important message for us to be on top of this issue. There are so many different factors that contribute towards this, but one of the factors that we can make a difference in is transportation. And Regional Planning Commission, as you know, is partnering with WGLT, Town of Normal, City of Bloomington, McLean County, Ecology Action Center, and other partners to promote active and sustainable transportation options. And we'll continue to do so more. What we are also doing is we are partnering with Ecology Action Center on creating a Bloomington Normal-wide energy plan that addresses some of these issues as well.
And when might we see that energy plan?
It is still in the very preliminary and early stages, so hopefully within the next couple of years.
Let's go back to something you said about obesity. When did comprehensive plans start factoring in societal ills such as obesity? When did those kinds of plans start saying, well, we can do something about that?
Mike, honestly, until probably within the last 10 years or so, I think comprehensive plans started to become more aware of how built environment is contributing towards those. For some reason, we've always looked at built environment as in its own silo, if you will. We thought we should worry more about housing and transportation, parks and recreation, things like that. But all of these together impact health, and more literature started becoming showing the links between how land use and built environment is having an impact on physical inactivity and lack of access to fresh food and so on and so forth.
A lot of the upcoming plan is, of course, going to be based on this community outreach. Can you tell me about that effort and some of the important differences between Normal and other similar-sized communities, even Bloomington?
You know, community input is a very important aspect of this process, as you know. This is where every community is unique, and even within the community, every neighborhood is unique. So Normal is definitely unique in a way where it is influenced by the students, and it also has a huge family-friendly atmosphere here. How is it different from Bloomington? I think one of the key differences that I can point out right away is we've heard a lot about history in Bloomington, where residents were very passionate about preserving history. Normal's historic neighborhoods, we don't have a huge inventory of those, so we have not heard that. Something else that we've heard in Bloomington is a huge east-west divide. And I don't know if that's just Bloomington, and that's something that we need to look at much more comprehensively, because West Bloomington really does provide affordable neighborhoods and living options for the entire community. And Regional Planning Commission is going to hopefully do a study. We are getting ready to issue an RFQ soon on a regional housing study that kind of looks at housing much more comprehensively than town and city boundaries.
You said you heard from a lot of people who thought Normal was on the right track. What about problems or concerns expressed by people who participated in the outreach effort?
Interestingly, we did not hear a lot of concerns. What we did hear is wanting more of what the town is already doing, such as uptown redevelopment, expanded bike and ped network. Transit is something that we've heard that people wanted expanded hours of service coverage, as well as weekend transit options. Students did voice their opinion about curbside recycling for apartments. But other than that, the real concerns kind of were few and far between, and those that were voiced were somewhat within the respondent pool were contradictory to each other. So, for example, a huge number of respondents wanted more redevelopment of uptown, and they were supportive of what went on. But there was a small percentage that said, oh, you're concentrating too much in uptown. You need to concentrate in other places. There is a little bit of disagreement when it came to police issues. Majority of the respondents felt very safe in this community. They're very appreciative of the safety factor in the community. But students voiced concerns about how they felt like they are targeted. They felt like police should be more worried about other issues than speeding and traffic issues. On the same token, non-students said, "Oh, students need to be watched more. They text while they drive, so on and so forth." So, once again, there is that contradiction within the respondents' pool. And housing, is one area where affordability of housing around university, particularly rental, came up. I don't think this was so much controversial as much as trying to balance between the student housing and neighbors surrounding university, particularly some historic neighborhoods, voiced concern about student housing encroaching into those neighborhoods.